Blog Talk Radio.
We are back and we're doing something a little bit different. For some reason, I could not get anywhere. I don't know why that happened, but for some reason, everything just shut down. And I don't know, maybe it was because the phone that I was using is also as well as what I was doing the show from. Now I'm in show. This is interesting. I used to not be able to call through my other phone. So I tried it with this one instead of using the house phone, because the house phone's internet phone. So we'll see what happens. I was literally in the middle of something when it cut off, and I just kept trying to call the number, and I was like, acting like it didn't exist. And I'm waiting for that to happen. I am waiting. Because at any time, they are going to eventually. I don't know what they're going to do because we're moving to HTML5. So what are you going to do, Blog Talk? Everyone's trying to tweet them and all kinds of stuff, and they don't answer. They don't answer to anything hardly. So we'll see what happens. I don't know. I've looked at other places, and there's just almost really no platforms that are as good as Blog Talk. I might end up having to make one of my own. All right, so we were in the middle of the text thing. It's been pretty crazy right now. Now, as I was saying before, I was rudely interrupted by my internet, I guess. As I said, though, we are in the middle of, we need more than just centrist solutions. You know, these issues demand attention, like immediate attention. We need to really get stepped up. And if we don't worry about these midterms coming up or voting anyone in later, because if we don't do something, you're going to have a lot less to worry about than voting. Well, more, but less, as in we're not going to have shit. So fighting over parties like they're baseball teams, this isn't, you know, the Dallas Cowboys, man. This is people's lives. This is also our environment. So, this demands immediate, bold action. You know, there's people that have been in politics longer than I've been alive. Most of us, a lot of us, especially after the baby boomers and such. And, you know, there's been several Democratic presidents who have needed Republican votes. You know, and these people are career politicians. You know, they've been doing it longer than, I mean, look at Mitch McConnell. What a fucking piece of shit. Republicans now in Congress are nothing like the old ones. You know, these old ideals. They have a gold Trump. If you ever read anything in the Bible, think of it as fairy tales. Even so, look at it. Those are parables. Somewhere in some civilization, some fucking group of people have done the same shit that we're doing now. And they had some gold moron, maybe even orange, who knows, baselessly worshipped. Fucking toolbox. Like, seriously, what the fuck? Today's Republican Party is, in fact, a cult. And while most Americans struggle to make ends meet, myself and my family included, we are definitely in the lot with a lot of you. The mega rich will continue to get and have continued to get their extraordinary tax breaks. You know, people invest to make money. And potential taxes have never scared them off before, and they used to pay their share. And to those who argue that higher rates hurt job creation, should note that the net of nearly 40 million jobs were added between 1980 and the year 2000, when tax rates for the rich were far higher. So you know what's happened since the lower tax rates and far lower, it's far lower job creation, that's what's happened. People, they have been coddled long enough by billionaire-friendly Congress. It's time to make the government get serious about shared sacrifice instead of making everything fall on the working class people who take up 70% of the fast food and restaurant industry. So, you know, there shouldn't be, you know, a standard for some. We shouldn't have to follow different laws and stuff like that due to the status quo that we're in. And it just seems like this is where we are in life right now. Life. You know, this is what we do. This is how we fucking live. And we do nothing about it. And while we're sleeping, while you were dealing with Biden and Trump and bullshit and sleeping, Georgia's Republican-controlled House just passed a new voter suppression bill, which cuts weekend voting, restricts mail ballot drop boxes, adds voter ID for mail ballots, and gives voters less time to return ballots. The longer it takes for Congress to pass H.R. 1 or the People Act, the longer voters can be disenfranchised like this. Like, literally, Texas just experienced a full-on humanitarian crisis just barely 2 weeks ago. They're now opening 100% without a mandate to wear a mask. They're literally killing people, like, without even hiding it now. This is the culling of Americans. If you did not know about the Georgia Guidestones now, I'm all for research. Research, please. But this is really interesting because, to me, it kind of really does fall in line with the Georgia Guidestones. Now, if you Google that, check it out, Georgia Guidestones, wait until you read it, I think it's like 85% of the planet must be cold for the survival of this planet to go on. Now think about that for a minute. We just lost over 500,000 people and growing. That's a lot of people, man. Now think about this. Eugenics, deciding on what your baby's going to be, editing out genes. They have the CRISPR. I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just saying, check it out. Some conspiracies are just that, but some turn out to be true sometimes. But this is very weird for, you know, if you look at it, this COVID-19 is constantly changing, and it attacks the body like AIDS. So it seems that, to me, yeah, I came from the wild, but it seems like certain genomes will be taken out of the soup. Soon enough. Only the strong will survive this. And I really feel like that's also why that they do what they do when they're like, oh, generate your own electricity. This is where the weak will die and the strong will survive. Nice. Right in your face. Is that outright Jesus or original Jesus? Which Jesus are you worshiping? So, anywho, we've got lots going on around the world. Over in Myanmar, we have, they literally were firing off live rounds into protesting crowds. Absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. They literally used the military and had a complete crackdown after weeks of demonstrations that have roiled the nation since February 1st. A coup brought back full military rule following years of quasi-democracy. Now, the unrest has gripped Myanmar with demonstrators pouring into the streets for weeks on end in a challenge to the country's powerful military after it overthrew the fragile democratic government in a coup d'etat on February 1st. I'm going to sound like shit for the next couple of weeks if I'm working with people and they don't wear masks. I'm wearing one, but they do not, so and probably changing of the environment and stuff like that. You can tell I've been gone for a few weeks. Anyhow, military leaders initially restrained response to the first waves of protests, civil disobedience, and work stoppages, which have grown more forceful over time, now escalating into a brutal effort to put down the movement that has so far left scores injured and at least 21 dead. Now the coup returned the country to full military rule after a short span of quasi-democracy, which began in 2011, when the military, which had been in power since 1962, implemented parliamentary elections and other reforms. So in the week since the coup, Aung San Suu Kyi, the country's ousted civilian leader, has faced charges in a secret court. Fuck. Demonstrations against the military takeover, some of which have turned deadly. They've erupted across Myanmar. Now, what led to the coup? Parliament was scheduled to hold its first session since the country's November 8 elections, in which the National League for Democracy, Myanmar's leading civilian party, won 83% of the body's available seats. The military refused to accept the results of the vote, which was widely seen as a referendum on the popularity of Ms. Aung San Suu Kyi. As head of the National League, I hope they said that right. League for Democracy. Now, she had been the de facto civilian leader since her election in 2015. Now, the new parliament was expected to endorse the election results and approve the next government. The possibility of the coup emerged after the military, which had tried in the country's Supreme Court to argue that the election result was fraudulent, threatened to take action, and surrounded the House of Parliament with soldiers. How this was carried out, the military detained the leaders of the National League for Democracy and other civilian officials, including Ms. Aung San Suu Kyi and President Yu Win-Yint, cabinet ministers, the chief ministers of several regions, opposition politicians, writers, and activists. Now, the coup was effectively announced on the military-owned Mayawati TV station when a news presenter cited the 2008 Constitution, which allows the military to declare a national emergency. Now, the state of emergency said will remain in place for 1 year. Now, the military quickly seized control of the country's infrastructure, suspending most television broadcasts and canceling domestic and international flights. Telephone and internet access was suspended in major cities. The stock market and commercial banks were closed. Long lines were seen outside ATMs in some places. In Yangon, the country's largest city and formal capital, residents ran to markets to stock up on food and other supplies. Ben Ryder's going to need glasses for at least make my left eye better this since my little incident where when I fell and hit a rock, my left eye has not been so good. So I will be seeing if I need surgery or just glasses now. Really sucks. Might just get a contact or something. Anyway, so now who is she came to power as state councilor in 2016 after the country's first fully democratic vote in decades. Her ascension to leadership was seen as a critical moment in the transition to Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, to democracy from military dictatorship. Now, Ms. Aung San Suu Kyi, the daughter of the country's independent hero, Jiang Aung San, spent more than 15 years under house arrest. Her time in detention made her an international icon, and she was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1991. After she was released from house arrest in 2010, her reputation was tarnished by her cooperation with the military and her vociferous defense of the country's deadly campaign against Rohingya, a Muslim ethnic minority group. In 2019, she represented Myanmar at a trial in the International Court of Justice, at which she defended it against accusations of ethnic cleansing. Now, many believed Ms. Aung San Suu Kyi's cooperation with the military was pragmatic, a move that would hasten the evolution to full democracy. But her detention since the coup appeared to prove the lie in the military's commitment to democracy. Why is she on trial now? A secret trial for both Mr. Win-Yint and Suu Kyi, the deposed president, began on February 16th. They faced obscure charges that could land them in prison for 6 years and 3 years, respectively. Now, Yi was accused of violating import restrictions after walkie-talkies and other foreign equipment were found in her villa compound. She was also charged with contravening a natural disaster management law by interacting with crowds during coronavirus pandemic, a charge that had not been disclosed publicly before. Mr. Win has been charged with breaching the natural disaster restrictions. Suu Kyi was denied legal representation, and her lawyer was not told that the trial had begun. It is believed that the trial could take up to a year, and it is widely seen as pretext for keeping Miss Sue Key in detention. Oh, God. Now, people for weeks have been protesting this, and it came to a head on the 22nd of February when millions of anti-military demonstrators took to the country streets for a general strike. Now, the strike came after several protesters were killed by military during the preceding weekend, now including two unarmed protesters killed by security forces in Mandalay on February 20th, one of whom was a 16-year-old boy. The general strike represented a broad cross-section of the country, including civil servants, bank workers, doctors, and day laborers. The national boycott expanded a civil disobedience movement that has paralyzed the banking system and made it difficult for the military to get much done. Now the protesters have been met with the might of the military, which erected barricades, deployed soldiers in riot gear, and stationed snipers on rooftops, along with protest routes. As the demonstrators entered their fourth week, the military, notorious for having crushed democracy movements in 1988 and 2007, by shooting peaceful protesters, escalated the violence used to repress them. Now, on Sunday, the most brutal day to date, the armed forces fired on demonstrators in several cities, killing at least 18 people, according to the United Nations, and wounding scores more. General Min Aung Hlaing, after the coup, the military handed power to the army chief, senior. The General Min Aung Hlaing, the move prolongs the general's power, even though he is supposed to age out as army chief this summer. His patronage network, centered on lucrative family businesses, could well have been undermined by his retirement, especially he had not been able to secure a clean exit. Now, under a former power-sharing agreement, General Min presided over two business conglomerates and was able to appoint three key cabinet members who oversee the police and border guards. The military never fell under civilian government control. In recent years, the army, with General Min at the helm, has overseen campaigns against several of the country's ethnic minority groups, including the Rohingya, Shan, and Rohingya. Now, the international reaction that has several major world leaders quickly condemning the coup, demanding that Myanmar's military immediately free Ms. Aung and the other detained government officials and honor the November election results. But it was not immediately clear what sort of concrete actions, if any, other nations might take. Now, the Biden administration, which has sought to elevate human rights as foreign policy priority, suggested that it would penalize Myanmar's military hierarchy with unspecified sanctions. Why is it that we have power of doing anything at all to anyone, first off? And secondly, why are our own people dying and without housing and food and shit and jobs? Like, I don't know. Now, Antonio Guterres, the United Nations Secretary General, said the coup developments represent a serious blow to democratic reforms in Myanmar, and the Prime Minister Boris Johnson of Britain said in a Twitter post that the vote of the people must be respected and civilian leaders released. Great job, guys. As security forces fired on unarmed demonstrators and rounded up protesters, escalating their crackdown, the international community sharply criticized Myanmar's leadership. Now, we're strongly condemning the escalation of violence against protests in Myanmar and call on the military to immediately halt the use of force against peaceful protesters. Now, this was Ravina Chamdevani, a spokeswoman with the United Nations Human Rights Office. Now, China is Myanmar's biggest neighbor. How have they reacted to this? And they share a 1,300-mile border and is one of the country's largest investors. Now, they've responded cautiously, having cultivated cordial relations with both Ms. Aang and military hierarchy and that detained her. Now, China and Myanmar are friendly neighbors, and they hope that the parties will properly handle their differences under the Constitution and legal framework to maintain political and sustain the social stability. Now, this is Wang Wenbin of Foreign Ministry. This is a spokesperson. This is in Beijing on the 22nd of February, the day of the general strike. Yeah, it's great. We hope everything works out for you, and let us know when you're ready to do business. Now, Myanmar was the first stop of regional goodwill tour by China's foreign minister, Wang Yi, who pledged to furnish free Chinese-made coronavirus vaccines to Myanmar. Now, with all that going on, they probably halted that. This has probably halted a lot of things. I don't know. I feel I don't know, man. I feel like, yeah, everyone should be outraged about this, of course. But we definitely do also need to take care of what's going on with us right now. And dealing with trans rights isn't something we should have on the table. Unless you should just be a basic person. And it's not you, it's not your body. If it ain't bothering you or hurting you or trying to rape you, you should probably shut the fuck up. Now, I really, when you say I have no problem with wage increases, but I don't really believe you should be able to make house payments flipping burgers and bagging groceries. Those jobs are meant for teens. First job to make some money and learn responsibilities, not create careers. And curiosity here. Curious that if minimum wage did get increased to $10 and $15, what would happen to those who are in positions that get $15 an hour? Would you see an equal raise? Doubt it. And that's what bothers me. And this is somebody who wrote and did not give a name. It's been taken out. And this is a wonderful response from Joel Kleinpeter. Kleinpeter? These weird-ass names. 5 years before signing into law the first minimum wage in 1933, statement regarding the National Industrial Recovery Act, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and no business which depends for existence on paying less than living wages to its workers has any right to continue in this country. And by living wages, I mean more than the bare subsistence level. I mean wages for a decent living. Now, he did say this. Now, in a fireside chat before signing the 1938 Fair Labor Standards Act, Roosevelt said, "Do not let any calamity howling executive with an income of $1,000 a day who has been turning his employees over to the government relief rolls in order to preserve his company's undistributed reserves tell you, using his stockholders' money to pay the postage for his personal opinions, tell you that a wage of $11 a week is going to have a disastrous effect on all American industry. You're just wrong. Just flat out 100% wrong. And if your view is completely ahistorical, it was intended that someone flipping burgers and bagging groceries should be able to afford a home. These jobs were never intended to be for teens. Also, if teens are doing real work, they deserve real wages. Do you have any idea how common burns are in the fast food industry? How many back injuries there are from unloading trucks and stocking shelves at a grocery store? How about the sheer, unbridled psychological abuse heaped on retail workers by shitty customers? Why is someone risking third-degree burns for a paycheck, often to help their family, because their parents aren't earning enough, not deserving of an honest day's wage? Your view is shitty.
and it's factually just plain wrong. You should feel bad for putting forth the effort to actually type out this self-centered nonsense. Thank you, sir. You're awesome. $6 an hour wage in 1978, adjusted to modern inflation rates, would equal to $24.07 an hour in 2021. A person making $24.07 an hour working 40 hours a week and 52 weeks a year would earn over $50,000 annually before taxes. South Dakota Senator John Thune can just take several motherfucking seats. So save it about your bullshit, your minimum wage, because at Costco it's $16, at Walmart it's $11, average pay for Costco is $24, for Walmart it's $15. Employees on food stamps subsidized by us, Costco's virtually none. Walmart, more than any other company. Founder net worth, Costco, not a billionaire. Walmart, over $220 billion, up to $30 billion in pandemic. Costco and Walmart have the same low prices. So when you hear raising the minimum wage will just result in higher prices or layoffs, remember that's not basic business. It's corporations making a choice. Pay more or give shareholders billions more. Yeah, it's true, guys. It's fucking true. And I feel very strongly about all of this. If you work, you should not have to work a bunch of jobs while trying to raise your kids because you're never going to see your fucking kids, especially if you're a single parent. Like, it really takes a toll on your family and yourself. We shouldn't have to work a ton of jobs just to make ends meet. I wasn't born to pay bills, die. Like, what is the point of this? And I feel for those who are now having to deal with the electric bills that are now befallen upon you due to the humanitarian crisis that has overtaken Texas in the past couple weeks. Our government continues to fail, and I truly hope that something changes. But a lot of things will not change because change doesn't make money. It's like peace don't make money. If we have peace, then we have no one manufacturing weapons. We manufacture wars to manufacture weapons. We manufacture prisons to make fucking ice cream goddamn machines to give them to certain ones. Seriously, check it out, guys. They have conventions for this shit. Everything is for profit. And until that stops, no change will ever happen. Nothing will be truly fixed. And people will still be hateful pieces of trash. And there will still be some who are like, hey, we don't have to be like this. And, try and make change. But the thing is until a large collective hones in on that same fact, that movement is very hard to make. So that's the tea, everyone. Thanks for listening. We are literally, 6 away from 1600, so that's pretty fucking cool. I will be on Friday morning for tarot and tomorrow. Tomorrow's Thursday. I'm off. So yay, I'm off today. I'm going to clean my house and play some Pokemon Go. Yay. I got some new Pokemon, so I'm pretty happy there's new ones. And that's the tea, everybody. Wash your hands, wear your mask, Black Lives Matter, fuck the GOP, and eat the rich. Bye!